Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to the panel discussion this morning. I'm Joe Donahue. I'm fighting something. I've got some sort of thing, so I apologize. I will. I will try to take care of it during the break.
Me too. I have it too.
I'm very healthy.
Well, yes, you're gleaming. You're so healthy. So welcome to the roundtable and to the program, and I thank you very much for being with us. It's always really nice to have you here, and because we figured this out a while ago that if you're not here, well, there's really no reason for us to be. So let me introduce our panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Oh,
great.
Hi.
Thank you very much. Also,
trick question, Joe.
Yes. SUNY Albany journalism professor, investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo joins us. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
And Poughkeepsie Journal editor. I was going to say journey, and I'll get to that in a second.
It's been a journey.
Journal editor Stu Shinsky is with us. Good morning, sir.
A pleasure. Thank you for the invite.
Now, speaking of journey, we are going to be, Stu is on our turf today. We'll be on his turf tomorrow because we'll be broadcasting from the Culinary Institute of America, the CIA in Hyde Park, New York.
I get a home game.
Do you know, Alan, here's a trick question for you. You ready for this?
I am.
Okay. Because it seems to me that we broadcast there not long ago to me in my mind.
Yeah, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Do you know when our last time there was?
2 years ago.
2011.
No.
Yeah, 2011. No.
Really?
Yes.
Seems wrong.
Wow.
So
you need to get out more
It's
often.
Been a long time since we've been there, so it's great to go back, and we will be very happy to have you at the head of our lovely table that they make up and have all of the – there's like 8 forks, Rosemary. It's great. They're all over.
And the culinary that you will see tomorrow is far different than the culinary that you saw 4 or 5 years ago. It has been updated and modernized in several ways. They've made some really amazing upgrades to the campus.
Big new auditorium, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
All kinds of good stuff.
Yes.
Where will we be this time?
We're going to be at the same place we always are.
Oh, okay. We're overlooking the thing.
Yeah, the Caterina de' Medici.
The Italian restaurant.
And the reason that we broadcast from there is because we get a good signal from there.
Oh. So,
and good pastries.
and wonderful food as well. Man. Absolutely. So please
pastries
join us.
Pastries are involved, and again, I am not. This is a pattern.
Okay.
I never get invited on Food Friday, and now this.
First of all, you would have been invited, but you called in sick tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. I'm traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right.
Yeah.
That's
Never
okay.
Mind.
That's all right.
Save for a cannoli.
Right. I'm just saying.
Yeah, a cannoli. That'd be good.
Now, you're back for like 2 days, and then you're off.
Yeah, but I'm not supposed to talk about where I'm going
okay.
because there are security concerns. I'll
okay,
talk
great.
About it later.
All right, so I'll shut up.
You going to Rhode Island?
Yeah. Lovely Rhode Island.
I'm going to Texas, yeah.
Weirdly, I thought I heard about it on the media project, but that's another story. Okay.
Can't trust the media, Joe.
Let's go to the issues in the news, and we'll find out what's happening. I had trouble finding stories last night.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you did quite well.
Well, thank you.
Thank
you very much.
Interesting.
All right. Good. Now, do you want to start out with the Carl Hasty story? Hasty.
Yes. Just think
it
pudding.
It looks like Hasty, but
Hasty.
It's actually pronounced.
Think pudding. So,
Hasty pudding.
Yeah.
I got it.
Okay, so it's Hasty, and that's only for pronunciation purposes do I fool with it that way. He has a little problem. His mother, when he came in, it was announced that his mother had been convicted of a crime and had been sentenced and then died very quickly after that. His ex-boss went to prison. His mentor went to prison. And it's the job of the journalist to look into all of this. It turns out that the court ordered him to sell his mother's property, which had been financed through her ill-begotten gains, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. He didn't do that. He held on to it. He paid the mortgage. He did this and didn't. But he didn't sell the property, which I think appreciates in value. I don't know about that, but he didn't do it. So now there is this question as to whether or not he has done something wrong. He gets up. He says, I didn't do anything wrong. I did everything according to the way it should be done, and I don't know. All I know is what this is making a lot of news right now, perhaps because the legislature is known as a den of iniquity in general, and it's a sewer. And, you know, it is fair game for gotcha, both for the U.S. attorney and because we see in the other house, we see Dean Skelos under suspicion, and we are told investigation. And we see his group emerging from their conference and saying of him, we're sticking with him. They don't have much choice because, and unlike the Democrats, who are often like, feral cats, assembling somewhere, the Senate Republicans know enough to stay with each other. So now we have the leaders of both houses with renewed suspicion on them. So that's, I guess, does that set it up fairly?
It certainly sets it up fairly. Do you wish to then comment on it?
Well, let me put it this way. Who would want to be in the legislature right now?
I would. I would take that job, and I think I could do it without... coming under suspicion.
You know, that's
a little transparency, a little common sense. And I don't understand the Hasty situation. The court told him to do something. He says, I did everything right. How do those two things go together? It should be a matter of comparison to figure it out.
Well, there does seem to be that. There does seem to be that. You know, Rosemary, when you say, I think I could do a good job with a lot of transparency,
and a lot of legislators do. You know, we're always careful to say most cops are good, only some are bad. It's the same with lawmakers. Yeah. It's not impossible to do this job and not be crooked.
Although,
do you have to be free, and can you be free from the leadership that wants you to do this and to do that? And if you don't do this, you don't get that money to help your district, and that way you don't have stuff to campaign on. So, yeah, I think
you get thrown out.
Exactly. Yeah, the wonderful view would be we can do public service. The real view is that it's a sewer of politics.
I've always said to my students,
wow. And yes, young people, go into politics and improve things. This is in Bosnia, where I do a lot of work. No young people will go into politics. That if you ask them, what do you want to do? I want to change my country for the better. And how are you going to do that? I don't know. How about politics? No, I'm not a crook. I'm not a liar. That's the view. And we're increasingly moving towards that.
Well, I want to comment on that because I think you both make a very good point. You say, well, they have to follow their leaders. No, they don't have to follow their leaders.
Right.
That's the kind of things that you have. And so they are complicit if they don't stand up and scream that this isn't going to happen. Look, when it came to changing the ethics rules, both houses fought it. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Both houses fought it. They didn't have to. I wrote a column a long time ago in which I said, hey, and I mean, we're talking about years ago. All Shelley Silver has to do to have a statue put up a brass statue of him in front of the legislature is change the rules so that everybody gets a fair break. Instead, he takes the heat for the rest of them. They go out there and they think that there's a sense of entitlement for their insurance businesses and for their legal businesses. Hey, you get a choice between going to Stushinsky, the lawyer who just does an honest day's work every day, or going to the legislator. They say, well, I've heard it 1,000 times. I'm going to the senator, because, or I'm going to the assemblyman because, you know, they got a little clout there. No, I don't think it's that easy. And one last thing, I always say to
this is good. No, keep going, roll.
I always say to my students, what would you do when you get there? They say, I'd like to think when I get there, I'll be clean. And I always say to them, are you sure? Then when you get there, that you'll be clean. And they always say, I like to think so.
Okay,
I like to
what?
Think so means no.
We have an example right now about what freshmen what beginners can do, and those are the Tea Party candidates. Now, I don't like what they're doing, but they have gone into the House of Representatives in Washington, and they have shook up everything. The leaders are following them. How did they do that? By staying strong to what they believe is right. We may not believe it's right, but they do. By sticking with each other and saying, no, leaders, we're not doing it that way anymore. And you're telling me New York State legislators can't do the same thing?
Yeah.
They could.
They haven't so far.
No,
but
no,
that's right. And why won't they?
Right.
Because part of the entitlement of the job, as they see it, is to enhance their private interest.
Yeah, and that's something we, the voters, we, the journalists, must change. That's a culture we get to change.
We're not doing it. I'll tell you who's doing it. Preet Bharara is doing it.
Well, also, if you're a legislator in Albany, and there have been many who have worked their tails off to do the right thing, it's also a little different if you're a freshman or you have maybe two terms under your belt versus if you've been there for 15 years and you wield a little clout. The newer members of the legislature, the Hudson Valley is a perfect example. We had some very, very well-respected legislators such as Steve Saland, a Republican, and Joel Miller, a Republican, and Mark Molinaro, who's now our county executive in Dutchess County. We now have a much less veteran core of politicians, and they do what they can do, but they just don't have the clout of someone who's been there for 15, 20 years.
Let me argue with you, Stu.
Go right ahead.
I think you're right. Those were all good examples of very fine individuals. But as I said before, as long as they support the leadership, which they all did when they were there, they're complicit too. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the only way to see it. Yeah. Steve Saland, that was a great loss. It was terrible that he got forced out for doing the right thing.
Because he voted to endorse gay marriage in New York, and in essence, it killed his political career.
And in essence, I think he
knew. The Republicans did not support him.
And I think he knew it going in.
Yes. But he voted his conscience.
Michaels, who was the deciding vote years and years ago on an abortion law in New York State, which permitted women to make their own choices and their own decisions, and he knew it as he got out. It was a great story. His son confronted him and said, "You know, you're a political prostitute, basically."
Yeah, the true mavericks who hold to their truths. It is just so difficult to do these things.
So why don't we have more statues on the lawn of the state house, as you mentioned? There are people, and it won't be silver, perhaps, but it should be some of these other people. We do have legislators who do the right thing.
But who did they elect as the speakers? The next speaker. They elect the boss of the Bronx. That was his job. He was the boss of the Bronx. And so they elect him.
Well, no, that was my question. I mean, it seems like if we rewind this to the point where Silver was out and we were talking about possibilities, that a lot of this we already saw coming down the pike, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, none of it was a surprise.
No. The first thing they did is to walk out of the Assembly caucus, Democratic caucus, and say, "We're standing behind our guy." That was the first thing. Mm-hmm. Then when the newspaper pressure and everything else got so hot, that's when some people got some guts and said, "We can't do it." But then if you think about the subtlety of this, they go and elect another guy who has issues.
Right. But they knew the issues.
They did.
They knew the issues.
They
that's
knew the,
thing. The
issues. Look, the job of the speaker, the job of the head guy in each party is to front for the rest of them. That's what the job is. And to say, okay, I'll take the heat on behalf of you. And who better than the boss of the Bronx?
And this is why Albany, more than any place else on the planet, needs ethics reforms. And not the garbage where the governor says, "Well, I'm going to fold the Moreland Commission because I got what I wanted." And then 2 months later saying, "You know, we need some ethics reforms."
And
it was a joke. Planet Albany outside of the Capital Region.
Because he's trying to make good on the fact that he never expected that he would get bitten in the rear the way he did on the Moreland Act.
Mm-hmm. This is a very different picture that I get when I see those commercials that Governor Cuomo puts on the.
You mean $73 million for a startup in New York that created 70 jobs, stuff like
that?
Yeah,
it's
where everything is shiny
really
and happy
music.
No. But
great.
You know, but Joe is saying something that is literally profound.
It's spin, baby.
It's profound. No, because in the old days,
not Joe. Joe is reporting. Not that Joe is spinning. No, this is spinning like a factory of tops.
But Stu, the way that it works is that you take out your campaign, your $43 million, which he raised, and you use it in a campaign. Instead, there's this ancillary group, which is really him, which is raising the money.
Friends of.
And then they're putting these ads on, supporting him day after day after day after day. And there are people who are sitting out there on Long Island and other places and putting their hands up the side of their head and saying, oh, he's a pretty good man.
What a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called spin, baby.
Not aware of what's happening on Planet Albany.
The Planet Albany.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And because
I like that term. Yes, I don't think I've heard of that before.
You know, Joe, they are and they aren't aware of it. Yeah. You say to them, I say to my students, what do your parents think of the politicians in Albany? He says, they think they're all crooks.
Well, why don't people vote?
But at the same time, why don't people vote?
Well, they vote because they're disenfranchised. They don't care. They think that their vote doesn't matter because of all the garbage that happens.
No, they just vote, and they vote badly. And we're seeing it in the state of Kansas right now. They do. In the state of Kansas, they put in a very conservative, very Tea Party strict candidate. And the result of his economic policies are disastrous. Schools are closing. They can't keep the schools open.
Take issue with you. The people who vote, the very few people who vote, perhaps vote badly. But if you had, you know, God forbid, 100% turnout, then things may be different. Yeah.
Well, you don't
they
have
may
100%.
Maybe. How can I say no to that? You don't have
100%.
It could be worse.
You don't have 100%. You know why? Because they are voting.
Right.
They're voting with their feet. They're not
turning
out.
That's right. Yes. They don't care.
And we know it.
We have 5 seconds.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, great. Not great that you're done, but great that we can go to a break, and then we'll come back, and then we will be we'll get to get all revved up again, and we'll catch up with all the stuff we missed. We'll be back. Just getting our State of the Hudson Valley report from Stu. Very helpful.
Very serious now.
Yes. Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We are very happy that you are here. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Stu Shinsky, and we welcome your comments roundtable at WAMC.org. We have letters to get to. We want to read your letters, and then we'll go on to other topics as well.
Okay, so Vane writes us, that's V-A-N-E, while you're in the CIA neighborhood, have a visit to the newly renovated Roosevelt Library. It is once a walk-through chronological history lesson with appropriate tributes to FDR and Eleanor along the way. Indeed, it's a wonderful place.
It sure is. We broadcast from there when they did the new...
We did. Yeah. You're exactly right.
Yes.
And Ted writes, Rosemary, you're so right, and some sitting next to you, will complain what is wrong and everything, especially New York State government, and always make excuses for why things will never change. Your Tea Party reference is an excellent example. And Mike says, hey, Joe, here's one you missed searching last night, New York Times op-ed, Bobby Jindal, Governor of Louisiana, I'm holding firm against gay marriage. And, you know, I mean, everybody's trying to outdo each other in terms of that right-wing crowd you spoke of before who vote in these things.
It's just disgusting, isn't it? Well, I wouldn't go to a wedding, but I'd go to the reception. What?
We'll let the Supreme Court weigh in on this.
Anthony, I'd like to think so. I'd like to think so doesn't mean no. I think that phrase is an acknowledgement that nobody knows all the future as well as the fact that we're all fallible human beings. Perhaps we don't trust ourselves fully, which may be the best. If someone said to me that they're 100% positive they would be clean, I'd predict them to be the person that wouldn't be. At least I'd like to think so. That's Anthony. Anonymous says, my 34-year-old son, who lives in Massachusetts, would love to run for office. He has no money. This may also be a factor for young people not running for office. And it's true. That's one of the reasons why so many people think the cure for democracy is to have, as New York City does, government-funded elections so that everybody in New York City, they make it 6-for-1. You get a buck, you get six bucks more.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we hear the report from earlier today was that his mother was ordered by the court to liquidate, probably pre-mortem. This report then implied that he later inherited the property. However, you report that he was ordered by the court, perhaps post-mortem, to liquidate, which is it I had read in the paper. Now, that doesn't mean it's so, but I had read in the paper.
Yeah. That's one way a court order could be interpreted differently by a lawyer. That I have to check this out.
Yeah, okay. So Jill says, gotcha. It seems to me that most benign situations are coming under suspicion and investigation. How can anyone know that they are or aren't doing right or wrong? Rosemary says she could do the job without coming under fire. How can she be so sure of that? She could be going about her business and someone would find something that to her is nothing and make something out of it. Call me naive, but the more I hear, the more I'm starting to feel bad for these guys.
Oh, okay.
You were going to say, oh, please, weren't you?
Yeah, I was going to say, oh, please.
Count the conviction.
Yeah, I find, I don't know, there seems to be, let us call it what, mounting evidence?
Mm-hmm.
And we heard from Tony, who says, Stu, listen as all Wolf Shinsky. That's what it says.
I'd like to say hi to my wife.
Listen to all
Thank you, whoever you are. Appreciate it.
Okay. And we did that one. And Rich says, Nelson Rockefeller made his way to the State House in VP with his grandfather's illicit money that was made. Ludlow, CO, is not forgotten. Rosemary, run for something. Run.
The hills.
The hills, right.
Yeah. He likes you. Let's see here. Okay, we did that one already. And then why doesn't Joe ever introduce himself and let Rosemary know that never mind was a catchphrase of Emily Latella, not of Rosanna course. Rosanna Donna?
Well, it was Rosanna Donna, and she made it famous. I don't know about anybody else.
Right, well.
I'll look it up.
These are Saturday Night Live references from 1977. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm aging.
That's right.
Okay, now I feel chastised.
And by the way, I introduced myself at the beginning of the show.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yes. This is right. Joe Donahue, if you don't know.
I'm Joe Donahue.
Okay, all right.
John Donahue, as some of my students called you in a writing about you and an appearance at UAlbany. Jeez.
Okay, I think that's it. I'm not going to read a couple of them, which, you know, don't pass the smell test.
All right. Sounds good. Let's go on to other topics and find out what else is happening in the world. And, okay, so let's talk about Dzhokhar Tsarnaev flipping off the camera in prison.
Not allegedly.
It's his finger. What was his intent?
There was the painting that they did. What were they called? The court illustrations?
Sketch.
The court sketches. And so 2 days ago, they played the video to the court, and then they said, okay, this is they played this before the court, and they had a sketch of it, which was really funny. And then yesterday they released the video.
Now he may this and your point is very well taken, which is the question is, did he just walk up to the camera and give it the finger, or is it taken out of context? Now, Stu, you actually watched the video.
I watched the video. It's about a 35-second video, and this is from the cell. This is a few months after the arrest. He is in a very stark cell, and he is in
like
there
two
alone.
Two benches on either side. It's very, as you say, very stark, very mm-hmm. metallic, very mm-hmm. Industrial.
And up in the
nature.
Corner, there's a camera, which apparently has some sort of shiny cover on it, so maybe it looks like a mirror.
And
which
may have been there because of Suicide Watch.
Perhaps, yes. Yeah. Surveillance, whatever. But he walks up to it, and he starts playing with his hair, and he does have, I guess, nice hair. I would love to have hair someday. And he has these.
You have
this
a few left.
Yes. I wish I could have terrorist hair.
Not the mind. But he's sort of fixing his hair, and then he's sort of goofing around, and he does the peace sign in front of the camera, and then he does do the middle finger elevation, and then he sort of walks away and does whatever he's going to do.
Yeah.
But it just struck me as, and I get the guy's a murderer. I'm not excusing it. It just struck me as he's being a dopey 25-year-old who would be doing what guys do in an elevator at a department store where they see a thing or anywhere else where there's a surveillance
camera. He's a murderer. You're absolutely right. It's awful. But there is one other thing. We are now in the penalty phase of a trial.
Coincidentally, that's when it's released.
Yes. And somehow this guy, because the New York POST, a word I will not pronounce, puts this thing on the front cover and all the rest. This guy may be executed because of this picture.
But wait. The prosecution put this on.
Right.
The prosecution that is trying to execute him.
Correct.
So, of course, they're going to put it out. That's perfectly within their right and their duty to put out something as prejudicial as this.
To say that this defiant gesture is, quote, unconcerned, unrepentant, and unchanged.
Right.
It shows that he is those things.
And the defense, also serving in its role, said, no, wait, look at the whole 35-second video.
Yeah.
See, he's just a dopey kid. And it wasn't the peace sign. It was the hang loose sign.
Yeah, exactly.
With the two fingers
sort of on
the side. side.
Not straight.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Totally.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Yeah.
Totally dopey thing to do.
Yeah. I never even heard of the Hang Loose sign.
Yeah, you're so with it.
I have kids. I'm the oldest person always in my life because I teach.
And what does it mean? Hang loose means cool
like
it mind.
Be cool, chill,
cool
babe, chill.
Yeah. And that's what he did. And so the paper reports on these two events. They're not going to influence what happens in the.
Oh, are you sure? The jury saw it. I'm saying when the great history of this thing gets written, it may well be that after the evaluation and after you talk to all the jurors and everything else, the kid gets executed because of this picture.
Was this?
Why do you think the defense?
He's going to get executed if he does because he bombed the marathon and killed people and injured children and pulled off legs.
Which
the picture's irrelevant.
I think it's the legal tactic here that so really sort of gets it my mind. I mean, you know, yes, these people died at the Boston Marathon. It's a shame, and I think, frankly, this man should die for that crime. But the introduction of this as a legal tactic during the sentencing phase, when you went through an entire trial, you couldn't bring it up. It just strikes me as a willful opportunity by the prosecution to say, oh, look what we got. Nah, 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 nah.
Well, that's what the sentencing phase is for. They show the prosecution will show all the bad stuff.
You want to prove that he's
it.
Unrepentant. You want to prove that he doesn't care, and this is a way of proving that.
Well, let me put
or
it this way.
Or at least showing that, reflecting that.
Let me put it this way.
And he's already admitted he's done it. His legal team has admitted he's done this.
I'm glad Stu is here, and I wish you'd be here every day, Stu, because you make great sense.
Well, it's only because he's for the death penalty.
Exactly.
Which you say you're not, but you really are, and you need other people
wait
to
wait
say
a second.
I'm not for or against it. I'm for common sense.
Yeah. How do you know what
in this case,
I'm for common sense, but I'm not for killing a kid.
Well, okay.
Even a monster kid.
There's, you know, there's certainly that purview, and that's fine.
Yeah. I see. Come back often, Stu. Or as our listener wrote, Stu.
Again, hi to my wife.
but either it's... okay, so let's just real quick talk about the family in this. The families, which many of the families, not all, but many of the families have said they do not want to see him put to death. Should that enter into this penalty phase as well?
Yes, and it already has. And the family most affected, well, they lost a son and their daughter lost a leg as well. They were all injured. Has said,
oh, no.
If he goes on death row, we will be called back for hearings, for all kinds of legal proceedings for years and years. We want to move on. No, just put him, lock him away, and let's not think about him
anymore. While I agree with you, it is interesting, though, that after McVeigh in Oklahoma City gets executed, you really didn't hear much about it. In other words, there wasn't what you think you did?
Of course you did. There was huge stories in the...
Leading up to it.
Leading up to what? The
To his execution. No, don't do it. Everybody checks in, says don't do it. All the usual suspects. But afterwards, you didn't hear a whole hell of a lot about it.
Well, in this case, the family is saying, you know, it not necessarily should he die or should he not die. They're saying, look, we just want to move on.
Sure.
They're saying from a self-preservation viewpoint of there will be more hearings. We will be asked to tell. And I can certainly sympathize with everything they've been through. They would just want to say, can we get back to our lives and not have to worry about this guy?
Right.
I have to give this one last stab. I don't know what exactly you mean by we didn't hear about McVeigh. I think we're still hearing about him. And if it quieted down, it was only because his crime was overshadowed by 9/11.
Let the record show. I've got my arms up by my side.
I don't care.
My
I
neck
made
is
my squanch.
Shrugging.
I'm shrugging. I don't know what you're talking about here. Irene says the death penalty is wrong. Have religious representation on the panel. How do you know that I'm not religious?
And I'm against it.
Yeah,
I'm not religious, but I am against the death penalty.
The death penalty, abortion, topics like this, there will never be universal decisions on one side or the other. It's just what it is.
And you don't know what's in my heart, Rosemary. You can't say, I say I'm against the death penalty, but I'm really for it. You don't know that. You don't have a periscope that goes into my ear.
I have been
ear.
On this program
then why
for
do you
two
want
years. Yes, for 2 years I've been on this program listening to you talk about the death penalty, and you always, always preface it with, I'm against the death penalty, but...
And you
case,
always say, hey, Rosemary, you always say, I like, I really am a Clinton fan, and then you bash her. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that you're not a critical person. Boys, girls.
Well, you know, we just heard in the news, I think it was yesterday, where John Hinckley is up for possible release. Remember again, John Hinckley shot
again.
President Reagan, and they're saying that he has spent 15, 20 days a month with his mom at a farm in Virginia. So maybe it's okay to release him.
Well, that has been
well,
happening for several years.
Well, remember, he is not in prison.
No, he is not in prison, and President Reagan, thankfully, did not die.
Yeah.
But the point becomes, okay, he shot a president. Is that a death penalty offense? If you shoot a police officer, is that a death penalty offense? This is a debate that will never be settled one way or the other.
I wrong? He also shoots
James Brady.
James Brady. And he dies now, and they think...
And they link it to... They call it a homicide.
That's correct.
Yes, from the 1980-81 shooting, I believe it was.
81.
Well, you have Sirhan Sirhan who shot Robert Kennedy, and what? It's how many decades is he in prison now?
Okay, but
James already died in prison.
But you know, Yoko Ono goes to the probation hearings or whatever you call them, and always, you know, so testifies against letting the guy out. Mark David Chapman. My view on that is, if you're going to make the argument, we don't want to kill people, we want to put them in a cell where the only thing, as Mario used to say, was the sound of the toilet seat going up and down, then that's one thing. But then, inevitably, somebody comes along and says they've learned their lesson. Meantime, John Lennon is dead. James Brady is dead. So if you're going to put them in that cell, then that's the cell.
And the shame is we know these people's names. We know Timothy McVeigh's names. We know John Hinckley's name. The fame that they sought, unfortunately, is what they got.
Well, the real question is how mentally ill they were. That's, to me, what's going on.
Yes. That brings us to our second topic of the day.
Okay. Are we good? Are we done with the letters? All right. We're good. Thank you very much, Stu. We now go on to the VA scandal update. I found this to be an interesting story. So the nationwide scandal last spring over manipulated wait times at the Department of Veteran Affairs hospitals led to the ouster of the Secretary of Veterans Affairs and vows from new leadership that people would be held accountable. Then in February, the new secretary, Robert McDonald, asserted in a nationally televised interview that the department had fired 60 people involved in manipulating wait times to make it appear that veterans were receiving care faster than they were. In fact, the department quickly clarified after that interview only 14 people had been removed from their jobs, while about 60 others had received lesser punishments. Now, new internal documents show that the real number of people removed from their jobs is much smaller still. Three.
Amazing.
Wow. Yeah,
if this is a private company running the VA, where this is the private industry instead of the public sector, this would never have happened. There'd be so much more accountability. This is just something. First it's 60, then it's 14, then it's three. Come on.
Well, there is accountability because the press found it out. But my question is, I'm still unclear as to why there were not more firings. If you read the whole article that you are quoting from, it's his hands are tied. The administrator's
appeals processes,
hands are tied. Appeals, and there are some 100 cases in process for discipline. Is that what he meant, or why is the process so difficult? That's the question for me.
Well, because you're talking about almost a year from the time that we went to happened
from the time that the top guy was canned,
right? And then that we heard of the number 60, and it would just seem between now and then they would have gotten that accounting correct and perhaps even done more house cleaning before we ultimately find out that the number is three.
But they don't think you're ever going to find it out.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I think there's another big issue here, and that is whether or not they are, you know, whether or not the people at the top got the right information. I mean, Stu, you run a big organization. I run a fairly big organization here. I always say to people, don't sugarcoat it. Tell me what happened. If it's bad, I want to know it's bad.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I think the problem also is that these agencies that have problems, and I'm a big proponent of it, we get rid of the top guy, and I do. I think ultimate responsibility is on them. And then we stop, and And we also saw it with the Secret Service. We dumped the top leader in the Secret Service, and now we have a guy on a gyroscope, whatever it was, that little lawn chair with a motor that flies in, and the drone in the White House. That all happened after, supposedly, we had made the fixes. So what the kind of deep cleansing that needs to go on in an agency that's in trouble doesn't seem to be happening.
Well, I think that does need to take time, too. I mean, I think you put a guy in the office.
A year?
Well, no, I know in this case. I meant in the Secret Service case, but... Okay. We're going to take a break because we're late on taking a break. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about this. We'll take a couple more letters. We'll get to another issue. The roundtable continues after this.
Support comes from Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. The Whistling Kettle, featuring Tea of the Month clubs, Tea Discovery, Wellness Tea, Herbal and Caffeine Free Tea, and more. TheWhistlingKettle.com for catalog and online ordering. And Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences, offering a bachelor's degree in health and human sciences for students interested in public health and healthcare policy. acphs.edu.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We have a few minutes left. Alan, you have a few letters.
Okay. Michael says, Alan, there aren't any seats on prison toilets. There aren't any seats on prison toilets. Good point. I was just quoting Mario. Okay. And then a guy says the deciding factor for the death penalty will not be a gesture of the middle finger. Well, I'm glad you know that. I'm not so sure. These things tend to get out to the public. You know, that's defiant. And why do you think the DA is putting that?
Why not
putting that up there? Okay. So Robin says certainly it's possible for a politician to stay clean. Look at the president, hated as he is by his opposition after all these years. If there's anything to find, they'd have found it long ago. The best they can do is vague innuendo about there being something foreign about him. Wink, wink. I'm an agnostic myself, but I love him for his slightly uptight churchiness. Anyway, if Rosemary says she's clean, I'm perfectly prepared to believe her. I really don't think Americans are suspiciously I don't think most Americans are suspiciously close to embezzlement scams. George,
to clarify, not every single politician. We're not saying every single politician is dirty. We're not saying that.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. George says, the Secret Service has nothing to do with guarding the Capitol building where the gyrocopter landed. That's the Capitol Police. Margaret says, the only way to know about something is through investigation. Secret investigation, follow-up, and sources. This is what is best about radio and newspapers. And a guy says, Alan, the deciding... Oh, we did that already. Factor. And Colleen says, excellent show this morning. Glad to hear some passionate differing views. Stu, you are a refreshing voice of reason. And please, in capital letters, if this terrorist is given the penalty, it will not be due to flipping the bird. People are smarter than that. I refer you to Rosemary, who said that that bad people are elected because people make mistakes, right? Didn't you say that? What did you say before?
I said people vote wrong.
They
vote badly. They don't do the homework.
Based on what?
And then they get the leaders they deserve.
Yeah.
I just want to get to this real quick. But this was breaking news that the White House acknowledged this morning that two hostages held by Al Qaeda were accidentally killed in an American government counterterrorism operation in January, and said President Obama takes full responsibility. An extraordinary statement. The White House said intelligence agencies had confirmed that Warren Weinstein, an American held by Al Qaeda since 2011, and Giovanni Waporto, an Italian held since 2012, died during the operation. That Mr. Obama is expected to make a personal statement in the White House briefing room in about 5 minutes, that we are told. The operation targeted an Al-Qaeda-associated compound where we had no reason to believe either hostage was present, located in the border region of Afghanistan and Pakistan, according to the statement. No words can fully express our regret over the over this tragedy. The president directed that the information be shared today, which was properly classified until now, be declassified and shared with the American people.
Well, I mean, what else are you going to say? Obviously, if you're fighting and you're in a war, there's going to be collateral damage, and it's terrible. I mean, if you're going to use drones or you're going to use aircraft and say we don't want to put bodies on the ground, the other alternative is not doing anything.
Yeah, I have to say I agree with that. It's so regrettable, but yeah, I don't see a way around that.
It's a shame, but you know, at least it's come out. You have to be transparent about these things, and I don't know how long the White House knew this and why they're releasing this morning versus a week ago or whenever, but transparency is paramount here. I wonder about the timing. Is there an advantage now versus did they learn about this 3 months ago when they're talking about it now, right now, for the first time?
I think Al-Qaeda may have told us this. Mm-hmm. They have put something out. As I remember, I know at least in one case, they said it was our bombing that did it.
But we don't believe them. We believe the White House.
Well, yeah. Well, some do. And sometimes. Depends on who's the president. May I just read one more?
We're out of time.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, that's all right. We are out of time. We want to thank you very much for being with us. Rosemary, we'll miss you tomorrow.
Yeah,
and
I know.
For a while,
she'll be in Rhode Island.
We'll pack you a doggy bag.
And
I
be
promise.
Safe. Be safe.
Oh, I'm only going to New York this time. I don't go to the other place until next week.
Okay, and then she'll be back between now and then.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Stu, we'll see you tomorrow.
I look forward to it at the Culinary Institute, Route 9, Hyde Park, New York.
We're broadcasting live from there tomorrow, and we look forward to it. Thank you very much. We'll be right back with a roundtable debrief. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.